Next up at the Fontana Summer Festival, a world-class string quartet takes the stage at the Cooper's Glen Auditorium at the Kalamazoo Nature Center. It's set for tomorrow night at 7:30. The Escher String Quartet took its name from the artist whose intricate drawings show worlds of infinite loops. Not long after forming the group in music school in New York City, the Escher Quartet was recognized with the title of BBC New Generation Artist. Recipients of an Avery Fisher Career Grant, the Escher Quartet serves as artists of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. I recently spoke with the cellist, Brooke Speltz, about Saturday's program. Hi, Brooke. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
You know, I think what might be quite illuminating is for you to describe what has happened to you over the last couple of days in terms of travel. This is an issue that all internationally renowned string quartets are up against. So take us into your world of the last couple of days.
Well, the last few days I've been traveling on my own. The quartet hasn't had a concert for about 2 weeks, which is actually in our lives a very nice long vacation. Two of the members have families and their wives are Japanese and Chinese, so they're out in Asia with their families, and they're actually probably en route already, coming back from Asia to make it to Kalamazoo for this concert. Me, I came from a separate music festival in Eden, Utah, and after I was there for a week, I had 2 days off to visit some friends in Las Vegas. So after two very relaxing days in Las Vegas, I am on my way to Vail, Colorado, where my girlfriend is the violist of the Dover String Quartet. So as you can imagine, a relationship with two members of two separate string quartets adds even more travel to our lives. And I only had about 36 hours scheduled in Vail before I had to make my way to Michigan. So yesterday I get to the airport in Las Vegas in time for a 1:45 p.m. flight to Denver and then a 2-hour drive to Vail, and Southwest Airlines had a complete meltdown, complete system-wide meltdown across the entire country, where 95% of flights were grounded. Our flight kept getting pushed back until the inevitable cancel. So really wanting to be able to get to Vail at least at some point that day in order to spend a little bit more time with my girlfriend, who I don't see as much as I'd like, I switched airlines and last second bought a United Airlines flight to Denver, which I went over to that terminal. We left the gate early. I was just falling asleep when the engine started to malfunction. And we had to turn around and head to the gate and wait for an hour before they inevitably canceled that flight, which was the last flight on United or any other airline that was direct to Denver. So now I'm pretty much at a loss for words. I'd already been at the airport for 7 hours. I make my way back to the Southwest terminal, which is a scene unlike anything I've ever witnessed. Thousands of people waiting in lines that are 3 hours long to speak to somebody because they couldn't call Southwest because the system was still down and the phone operators couldn't access any information. So finally, I go back to Southwest. I put myself in a line. And while I'm in that line, the website comes back up and I see that there's a 10 p.m. flight that leaves Las Vegas to Denver. I buy a ticket on that. Now, I have to buy two tickets. I have to buy a ticket for my cello. And it wasn't cheap, but I half expected them to refund me anyway, given the day's events. Long story short, I finally speak to someone. They put me on standby on an earlier flight that had been delayed 6 hours. And I managed to get on that flight, and which is lucky, because when I land in Denver, the flight that I had bought the ticket for had been canceled. So finally, I get to Denver at about 12:50, 1 a.m., another hour to get our bags because, of course, everything is a complete disaster. and then a 2-hour trip to Vail, and then I leave tomorrow morning. And that's rather typical, actually. It's not the first time. And I would say that's probably my worst airport experience, but, you know, my first tour with the quartet out in, we were trying to get from Manchester, United Kingdom, to Norway, and the airline refused to book. I mean, I had bought a ticket for the cello, but the airline that we were flying seemed unable to print the ticket, and they didn't let me on the flight. And so then I had to spend about 10 hours at the Manchester airport waiting for the next one. So it happens. When you fly enough, it happens.
And then you have to arrive, rehearse, and play a fresh, exciting program for audiences who've bought tickets to see you.
Oh, absolutely. See, actually, that's the easy part, is playing the concert. That we know, at least, that we're going to be there and we're going to play music. The travel is always a mystery, which is why we always, unless we absolutely cannot avoid it, we always travel the day before the concert. And so in case even something terrible happens, we know we'll make it. There's almost no good excuse for missing a concert due to travel if you plan accordingly.
I'd like to have you go back and talk a little about the history of the quartet. I noticed that it celebrated 10 seasons last year. Have you been along for most of those or all of them?
No, actually, I'm still the rookie of the quartet. I joined last summer in May of 2015. The quartet began in, actually, while they were all graduate students at the Manhattan School of Music in 2004. And throughout the quartet's history, there have been a few membership changes. The first violinist, Adam, and the violist, Pierre, are the originals, and they've been there the entire time building up this quartet. And I joined, about a little less than a year and a half ago, and it's sort of been trial by fire. A lot of concerts, an incredible amount of music, a lot of traveling, but it's worth it. There's nothing I'd rather do.
Mm-hmm. The quartet performs on Saturday at 7:30 at the Kalamazoo Nature Center. The program includes Bartok, Dvorak, and you begin with Mendelssohn. I've also noted that a Mendelssohn release came out in the last year, I think. And were you able to play on that?
Yes, the second volume of our 3-volume set of Mendelssohn, the complete quartets, came out. The third one's going to be coming out in the fall. My predecessor, Dane Johansson, is actually the cellist on those recordings. But I guarantee you he's a very fine cellist. So the recordings are rather fantastic, and they've been received extremely well. It's really been a great boost for the quartet. Funny enough, there actually haven't been that many complete cycles of the Mendelssohn quartets recorded. So we were very happy to jump at the chance to do this project, and it's been a great ride for the quartet. All of the albums have been received quite enthusiastically, and we just love playing them. They're all absolutely incredible pieces, and don't grow old at all. They're always fresh.
It sounds like, Brooke, you think you're really in an enviable position, minus the travel hassles, but you're in a leading quartet that travels internationally and performs in the great halls in the world. What about how you started out as a musician? Did you have any inkling you would end up in a top-notch quartet?
I would say that I always dreamed of being in a quartet. I think that dream was initially began as starting my own quartet at some point out of school. But, of course, starting a string quartet, I mean, just finding 3 other members that are willing to make the sacrifices is an incredible challenge. And then there's an unbelievable amount of competition out there, especially of young quartets in their first 5 to 7 years of existence, trying to maintain a career and trying to make a living out of this career. So when I was offered this position, I really jumped at it because, in a lot of ways, so much of the hard work was over. The quartet had established itself through the years, and I was able to just sort of hop in and immediately just start working on music. My parents are both musicians themselves. My father's a cellist. My mother's a violinist. And they've sort of brought me up on the great recordings of the Guarneri String Quartet, of which I studied with the Guarneri Quartet when I was in undergrad at the Curtis Institute of Music. So string quartet playing has always been on my mind. It's always been the one thing I knew I wanted. And so it's really a dream come true. I mean, as cliche as that is, there's no other way to describe it.
It's an enormous amount of repertoire, too, to choose from and to prepare and keep at performance level. The challenges of your Saturday program are quite impressive.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is actually a particularly impressive program, if I may say so. All three of these pieces could theoretically be the anchor of a program. They're three unbelievably powerful works, so different from each other. And to put them together is, of course, a challenge. But of course, you know, these three pieces we've played many times in different configurations, in different programs. And so this is not the first time that we will be presenting this particular program, and I'm really happy it's not the last. I'm really in love with this program.
Is your job with the quartet to convince us anew with each selection that this is the masterpiece or the musical world that is the most convincing?
You know, I would say in many ways, for this program in particular, you could absolutely make that argument, because each piece is, without a doubt, a masterpiece. Now, we play pieces because there are many pieces that deserve to be played that are from slightly more obscure composers whose music we feel deserves to be championed, but we wouldn't necessarily say it's in the same level as the great Mendelssohn quartets or the great Beethoven quartets. But these three pieces, I guarantee you, we will be going out there trying to present a completely different world and trying to convince ourselves and the audience that there's no higher art form than this piece. Absolutely.
Well, Brooke, I'm really looking forward to your program. It sounds like an unforgettable experience, and thank you so much for previewing it with me here on WMUK.
All right, my pleasure. See you on Saturday.